This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Thank you, Father, that we can come as children of yours through Jesus. That we can come and that we can hear what you want to share with us this afternoon, Father, what is on your heart. That we can call you Father. Not an earthly Father, but a heavenly Father, a perfect Father. That we can call the Creator of heaven and earth our Father, perfect Father. What a privilege, Father. Thank you. Thank you that we can come together in this church, Father. It's maybe a little bit inconvenient and not what we used to, but we're not looking horizontal, we're looking vertical. We're looking up to you, Father, because we want to receive from you. Father, with the name of Jesus Christ, with the authority what I've got in the name of Jesus Christ, any unclean spirit, any spirit of religion which is hanging around here, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. You're not going to interfere with the sermon this afternoon, because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Creator of heaven and earth, our perfect Father, wants to speak to us. And Father, we come as your children. It doesn't matter how old we are, what age group we are, Father, but then we can call you our Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we can be excited of what you're going to share with us this afternoon. In Jesus' name, amen. Some of you were here last week as well, and then I preached about fixing our eyes on God, and fixing our eyes on me, what God was speaking to us. And when I was busy with the sermon for today, I actually felt it's a continuation of what God actually said to us last week, that He wants to open up our spiritual eyes, that He wants to reveal things to us. So today is it going about revelation. To go back to last week, it was about opening up the spiritual eyes. And the verse which I quoted was the one where Elisha was talking to his servant, and where Elisha said, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And that's something that we can keep with us anytime what we are. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And there's a change in the spiritual atmosphere. There's a change what we experience when we open our eyes, or the atmosphere is changing, the spiritual atmosphere is changing. Then our eyes are opened, and then we can see certain things from which we were blinded before. The verse which I quoted last week was Matthew 6, 22 and 23. "Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. It's like a window. And if that window is dirty, then the light which is coming in is not actually clear. We're not seeing clearly what God wants to show to us. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, when the window is dirty, and we know of those who are privileged to have a car, if your window is dirty, you cannot actually see quite well. Then you need your wipers to clean it and some soap, and then you can see again. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you are is actual darkness, how deep the darkness is." And God wants to speak today to us about revelations, reveal and revelations. God wants to reveal Him continuously to us. He continuously wants to speak to us. He continuously wants to show things to us of what is His plan and what He wants us to do. He wants to reveal Himself. The last book of the Bible as well, Revelations, is also a lot of it of what is going to happen. I still wonder if people can in Hollywood can make movies of that, because that movie would be fantastic. Because there's such a lot of dreams, imaginations, and things in it. But yeah, they're writing their own story. Jesus was talking to His disciples. And He asked His disciples, "Who do you say? Or who do people say? Am I?" And then they replied. And then Jesus asked the second question and said, "But who do you, the disciples who have followed Me for such a long period, who do you say I am?" And then Peter answered. And Peter replied and he said, "You are the Son of the living God." And then Jesus answered and said to him, He said to Peter, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but My Father who is in heaven." And this is a verse just showing that God wants to reveal Him continuously to us. And it is at awkward times, but a little bit later we will actually find out it's at certain times that God is revealing Himself to us. The word which has been used over here for the word reveal is apokalupto. My Greek is not that good. I'm not sure if there are any Greek people around here or not. But what it actually means, it has been put together of two different words. The one is apo, which you actually off, you take something away. And then the other one is kolupto, that's the cover. So you take the cover away. That's actually what revealing, what it means. So God is showing something to us. Now you can most probably also relate then to what I said last week, that the spiritual eyes are open. We are seeing something which has been covered for us, which was hidden for us before. If you like it, what I'm doing now with the words, what I'm taking, and then I'm splitting them up, you can do it yourself as well. You can go on eSort, and there you will see the strong words over there. And then you can see what actually the meaning is of that word, which could help you to understand. About Revelation, yeah, the best is to go to the book of Revelation and to start in Revelation 1 verses 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave Him to show His servants, things which must shortly take place. And He sent and signified it by His angel to His servant John. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave Him. God gave it to Jesus Christ to reveal it to His servant. And His servant was John, but it was done through an angel then. The word over there which has been used is apokalupsis. And now you can see the link with the apokalupti, what we had just now. So it's basically based on that word. And it means appearing, coming, lightning, manifestation, to be revealed, revelation. And this is where the book of Revelation is going about. It is a revelation of God through Jesus. And this book, what has been written, the Revelation, the book is written approximately 60, 65 years after the resurrection and the ascension day from Jesus. This week it is going to be Ascension Day, I think on Thursday. And so it was quite a long period after that that God revealed Himself through Jesus to John. But how is God revealing Himself to us? And there are a few different ones where I quickly would like to go through. The first one is God is revealing Himself through the Bible to us. And we've got where God spoke directly, like He, for instance, spoke with Adam and Eve. And He said, "And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat." So God is speaking directly. It's noted over here. This is in the Bible. This is how God is revealing Himself. It's also with an audible voice. And that's when we know that Jesus was baptized. "This is My beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." It's a voice what they could hear. God is not only then speaking directly, but it's also that God spoke through the prophets in the Old Testament. And those who are reading the Bible quite often will know that if we take Isaiah and Jeremiah and we take Ezekiel and Daniel and so on, continuously they said, "Thus says the Lord, thus says the Lord, thus says the Lord. The word of God came to me, the word of God came to me." So continuously God is speaking through the prophets in the Bible to reveal himself. And God spoke through the apostles in the New Testament, and that's including the John the Baptist, where God spoke and revealed himself then to the people. Because in the Old Testament, it was actually the prophets who were prophesying. But if we go then to the New Testament, it's actually the people testifying about Jesus. They were giving witness of what was happening and what was Jesus doing. And John the Baptist was the first one in the New Testament who actually testified, who witnessed of Jesus. John 1, verses 6 to 8. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, and this man came to witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. John was the first witness. And why could he witness? In a normal court case, a person can only witness if he has seen something which contributes to the court case. And this is what happened over here as well. John could witness because he knew about Jesus. And when I was reading it, then I thought, yes, that's actually correct. And I want to take you to the time when John was not even born. In Luke 1, verse 39 and 41. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Maria was already pregnant of Jesus. And when Jesus entered the room, John was already aware here's something happening. So he could testify about it. He could witness about it because it was already happening in his life before he was born. God spoke through the apostles. And the words of the apostles are part then of the Bible, and they are valuable. 1 Thessalonians 2. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as a word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. You received the word of God. So when the apostles were talking, they were speaking, and it was seen as the word of God. So God was revealing himself through the Bible. He was revealing himself in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And also by each and every word which was spoken by Jesus. Jesus says, I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne. Many times we read it in the Bible that Jesus says, I say to you. And these words are coming from Jesus, and it's God revealing himself to us through those words of Jesus. How does God reveal himself? Through the Bible. But God revealed himself also through Jesus. Jesus who came to this earth, his son. And if we take a look at what Jesus did and how we can, group Jesus and have a look at Jesus and see what Jesus did, then we're actually astonished to see, but that's exactly what God wanted. Because Jesus loves the creation. Jesus was passionate about the people. It wasn't that he walked away from certain people and said, okay, but those are too long and those are too short and those are too fat and too thin and they are too light and too dark. No. He was passionate about the creation. Because each and every person was created by God, knitted together in the mother's womb by God. So precious. So Jesus reflected that. Jesus showed that. Jesus revealed that, that God is passionate about the people. Also forgiving sins. Jesus says that he was forgiving sins. Jesus was healing. Jesus was sending demons out. And Jesus gave the highest price, his own life, for us so that we can be saved. And Jesus reveals then who God is, but he also shows the way to God and that he was the way and is the way to God. And Jesus started with the words, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We can read it in Matthew 3. John the Baptist started exactly the same. Repent. Heaven is at hand. And then Peter also, when they asked him, what must we do to get saved in Acts, he exactly said the same. Repent and let everyone in you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And if this is mentioned to the people, and we get it many times on a Thursday evening with evangelizing, then you get two reactions. You get people say, it's all fine, it's not for me, I do not believe in a God. Although God has revealed himself in the Bible and so on, they say, no, it's not for me, I'm not interested in God, God doesn't fit into my way of thinking. Or you get people who say, yes, I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. And those who reject Jesus, they are the natural man. There's no spirit in them. And they are actually subject to what the enemy wants to do. They're subject under the Satan's rule and Satan's influence. But those who are accepting Jesus, they're having a relationship. But what should actually be in a relationship? If we take a look at John 1:10, it says, he was in the world, and the world was made through him. And the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, not of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You know, two things, what is necessary if we want to have a relationship with God. And that we can read in verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. But as many as received him. Receive is a single act. It's a noun. You just receive and it's finished. There's nothing continuation with it. But there are two things written over here. Receive, and the next one is believe. Believe is a continuous process. If we want to have a relationship with God, it's a continuous process. It's not something that you say, okay, I'm saved. Now you can sit in the chair and waiting for the second coming of Jesus. No, it's not that. If we accept, if we receive, then we believe. And believe is an action. Salvation is not to say, I've reached my destiny. Salvation is, this is the starting point of a living relationship with God. Now things are going to happen. We had those where God was revealing himself to, and then it is also that he's revealing himself through the Holy Spirit. John 14, verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all the things and bring them to your remembrance, all the things that I said to you. The Holy Spirit is also revealing what God wants us to do. He's also revealing God's plan. He's also reminding us, because many times we forget what God has said to us. Even Jesus speaking over here to the disciples, you're going to forget something. I'm sending the Holy Spirit to remember you again, that you do what God wants you to do. So the Holy Spirit is teaching us, but the Holy Spirit is also guiding us, that we can read a few verses later in John 16. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you in all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you the things to come. Whatever he hears, he will speak. Whatever the Holy Spirit is hearing from God, he will speak to us. And with that, we're going to be guided. Okay, we spoke about it. How is God revealing himself to us? And then we say, but when is God actually revealing himself to us? When is it happening? Is it early in the morning, 6 to 6:15? Is it in a church sermon where you've got more than 50 people? What are the, I should say, the qualifications before God is revealing himself to us? And when is God revealing himself to us? Always. God is revealing himself always to us. Not certain times, not certain days. And I want to take you to an example to maybe help you a little bit to understand that God is continuously revealing himself to us. And if we are aware of it, that God is continuously revealing himself to us, that's just building that relationship that we've got with God. Because then we see God in everything if we look around. I'm going to take you to the Israelites. The Israelites, they went out of Egypt through the Red Sea. They are in the desert now. And at a certain time, God is reflecting his presence over there. It's at the mountain. But it's very scary for the Israelites. Now all the people witnessed the thundering, the lightning flashes, the sound of trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled, and they stood afar. And then they said to Moses, "You speak with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak to us, lest we die." The Israelites were very afraid of God because they could see God was manifesting himself. He was revealing himself on that mountain. There was thunder, there was lightning flashes, there was a sound of a trumpet, and the mountain was smoking. Now we will most probably say, okay, that was a volcano or something like that. No, it's not the case. It was God was showing himself. And then the Israelites were so afraid. They said, we will speak to Moses, and Moses can speak to God, but we're not going to speak directly to God because we're going to die. We're not going to survive. The presence of God was overwhelming for them. But take a look what they do a little bit later. Exodus 32. Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, "Come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him." They experienced God. They said they are afraid of God. A little bit later, they forgot about God. They totally forgot about God. Forgot about Moses as well. They couldn't imagine themselves anymore. They forgot about it. And then they ask Aaron, "Please make us a god, a golden calf," at the final end. And that became their god. And this is where they bowed for. I just wanted to show two things, which I still cannot understand why the Israelites could not see God in those things. And the one is their clothing and their shoes. Deuteronomy 29. "And I have led you for 40 years in the wilderness." This is Moses speaking. "Your clothes have not worn out on you, and your sandals have not worn out on your feet. Each and every day." Now we know we've got to go to the shop. Now I'm not growing anymore. Sometimes a little bit, a kilo extra or a kilo less, but that's actually nothing. I don't have to buy other clothes for that. But we sometimes have got to go to the shop and buy new clothes because our old clothes, they simply are worn. The Israelites didn't have to do that in the desert. Their sandals, still the same sandals. It was each and every day when they put on the sandals or put on the clothes, they must have seen that miracle of God. But still they ask, "Give us a golden calf where we can bow down for." Take the next one, the manna. And the children of Israel ate manna for 40 years. This is now Moses speaking, and he wrote it before the 40 years were over. And they also speculated a little bit about it because they said, how can he write it because the 40 years are not over yet? But he knew what was going to happen. It is as they were going to enter the promised land, the manna was not going to fall down anymore. Until they came to the inhabited land, they ate manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan. So they've been eating each and every day. They've been seeing everything. Like I said before, they've seen the miracles of God in Egypt. God went with them through the Red Sea. God manifested, showed himself, revealed himself on the mountain. God gave them manna each and every day, 6 days of the week, enough that they could eat. The sixth day, there was enough for 2 days. They had clothes on which were not warning. And then they still doubted about God. They still didn't see the presence of God. And as I was busy with this sermon, I felt that today there were some people over here as well. That you say, but God is not revealing himself. God is not showing himself to me. God is not there. He's absent. Same as what the Israelites has been saying. And I say, stop. Do exactly the same as what the Israelites did. Start the morning. They picked up the manna. But start your day with God. Because if you do not pick up the manna, a little bit later it's gone. And it's exactly the same. If we do not start the day with God, a little bit later, we're so busy, God is gone. We do not experience him anymore. But if we're going to look around, take a look at the people who study along with you. Take a look at the people who work along with you. They're all revelations of God. Because each and every one has been made according to God's image. So you do not have to ask if God is revealing himself to you. Take a look around. Those people around you in the church, your brothers and your sisters, God is revealing himself to you now. By looking at them, you can see, but there is a God. And I don't have to put a question mark behind it anymore. Is there a God or is there no God? There is a God. So in the mornings, when the Israelites went and got the manna, it's in the mornings for us as well, the opportunities to wake up and to say, God, awesome what I can see. Nowadays, the sun is coming up a little bit earlier, so some of you will not see the sunrise in the morning. It's maybe already happened for you, but that you can see, but it's coming, and it's each and every time coming. And it's not something which is because we've paid a certain amount to the government and then the sun is coming. No, it's God, the creator of heaven and earth. He's revealing himself each and every time to us. Here I am. This is what I make. This is what I give to you. A wonderful day. What has to happen with us before God will reveal himself to us? Now we're coming a little bit closer by. What must I do that God is going to reveal himself, that God is going to give me a revelation? Is there something specific what I must do? It's a little bit of a long text what I'm going to read now. It's at 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 to 16. But in it, there's the answer what God is giving us of what we've got to do. If we want God to reveal himself to us, if we are looking for a revelation of God, the book Corinthians has been written by Paul to a congregation which was in a community which had problems. And they had three big problems. First of all, they were very proud on their intellect. They were very clever. They knew everything. You couldn't tell them anything. They were so clever. The second thing is that they were boasting of their great wealth. They had a lot of money. So they were very wealthy. That's the second thing where they had a problem with. And then the third one, which is always coming out of this type of nonsense, they were morally corrupt. If we take a look at Utrecht, are we far off? So now, Paul is writing that letter now to the Corinthians. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, not of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak of the wisdom of God in a mystery. God's mystery of how God is going to reveal himself to us. The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Something has been hidden. Something is not known to those clever people. Because if they would have known, they wouldn't have crucified Jesus. And then Paul is quoting Isaiah 64:4 over here. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. And here the answer comes on the question, what must we do if we want God to reveal ourselves, himself to us? But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yet the deep things of God. I'm just going to read the scripture further on, and then I'm coming back just now to this one. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. It's only the Spirit of God what can tell us what God's plan is. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit whom is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. And these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him. And that's what we experience many times on a Thursday evening when evangelizing, that the people are thinking you're mad, that you can believe in a God who you cannot see. And then sometimes they ask, prove me that your God exists. Then I can say, I can only testify what God has done in my life. And that I cannot ignore it. God does exist. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritual discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? We cannot tell God what he has got to do. God is going to reveal to us what he wants to reveal to us. He's going to show his plans for us when he wants to show his plans for us and when we are going to go to him. But we've got the mind of Christ. Coming back again to verse 10. But God has revealed them to us. God has revealed those mysteries of him, those things which are unknown to us, the things what we would like to know are about his plans for us. And how can we get it? Through the Spirit. If we haven't got the Spirit of God, if we haven't got the Holy Spirit, we cannot receive the revelation from God. We cannot receive what God's plan was for us. This is what the Word says. And I myself, I've been many years, I've been in that situation that I didn't have a problem with the Father, the Son. And if you asked me questions, I would have told you exactly how you can get in heaven. But if you asked me questions about the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I would have said, nobody ever preached to me about it. I don't know. It was hidden to me. And I also didn't actually know what God wanted to do in my life. I did the things what I thought was logic. You add one and one, and you say, okay, this is the best. Last time this happened, so I've got to do this again. But when I started having that relationship with God and was spirit-filled, I could go to God and say, God, what is your plan for me? And God is not going to roll out a whole 15-year plan for you. No, he's just going to give you what you need. Because our CVs look wonderful, because it's always from year to date to month, exactly what we've done, where we've been. If you go to God, God is not going to give you such a plan. Mm-mm. He's just going to give you what you need. But we've got to go to Him. And the only way we can go to Him, what God is going to reveal to us, is through His Spirit. And we can receive it from God directly. You don't have to read books. You don't have to go and watch all the YouTubes from all the famous preachers and so on. You can do that. I could even add that as well as Word of God. But that is so far between what really the Word of God is and what other people are speaking into your life. That has got to be tested against what God's Word is saying. But if God is speaking directly into your life and God is revealing Himself directly, there's nothing more beautiful than that. Because then you understand that the Creator of heaven and earth is speaking to you. I want to finish off today with a testimony. I'm one which is early up in the morning. Renee, she's not here. She sleeps a little bit longer. So in a certain span of our life, it was, let's say, anything around 8 years back or so, I would stand up on a Saturday morning because I would wake up each and every day. I would wake up in the area of 4:30, 4:45. That was my routine. So I would be up very early. So on a Saturday, I could maybe add an hour, but then it was more than enough. Then I would go to the kitchen, I would make coffee, I would make tea. In the morning, I start with tea. The rest of the day, I got more than enough coffee with cappuccinos at work. Renee would start with a coffee, and she would have her type of coffee. And those who know her know that her coffee is not that strong. So you can quite easily drink 15 cups of those cup of coffee a day, and then nothing is going to happen to you. Anyway, I made it. I made that coffee and the tea and the rusks as well. Went to bed again, and I was sitting in bed, and I was watching through the window, and then I could see some of the sky, and then I also could see a tree. And then I started talking to God, and I said, Lord, how is it possible that You, Creator of heaven and earth, and creation, yes, I can make something, but the Creator of heaven and earth created everything what we can see and what still hasn't been seen yet, just by speaking. So awesome, so great that You spending time with me. Because when I speak to You, You speak back to me. And I can come to You. Not quickly somewhere when I'm watching a soccer game or when I'm standing in traffic. No, I've got to take separate time for it. I've got to dedicate a time that I'm going to speak to the Lord. And I asked, Lord, why? Why are You spending time with me? And then He answered, and He said, because You are spending time with me. And yes, I got a few tears in my eyes, and I said, yes, Lord, that's what it is all about. God is there, but we've got to go and seek Him. The Holy Spirit will reveal God's plans for us, but we've got to spend time with God. And through the Spirit, God is going to reveal to us what His plans are, what He wants us to do. And we can bring anything which has got to do, we can bring it to God. And He will tell us. And He will guide us. And then there's nothing more beautiful than once God has revealed Himself to you, and if you do what God told you to do, because then you know you do the right thing. Heaven or hell can break loose, it doesn't matter, but you're doing what God is telling you to do. And then there's peace in your heart. Then you're not worried about it, what other people say or what other people think or what other people do. It doesn't matter. You do what God is telling you to do. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, again, it's a privilege that we can come to You as Creator of heaven and earth, and that You want to reveal Yourself to us, that You want to reveal Your mysteries to us, that You want to reveal Your plans for us to us, that we know where we've got to go and what we've got to do, that we can ask that from you and you will reveal that to us, Father. We thank you for that. And as all the eyes are closed, if you may be here today and you say, but I haven't got that relationship with God. I've never made publicly declared, I never publicly made the decision where I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. If you've never made that decision, and as all the eyes are closed, I'm asking you, please raise your hand. If it happened in your life that you've never said, Jesus, I'm accepting you as my Savior, then I'm asking you to raise your hand. And if you're here this afternoon and you say, that's fine, Derkjan, you're talking about the Holy Spirit, but I don't know. I know about Jesus, but I've never been Spirit-filled. You actually never asked God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Then I'm asking you, please raise your hand. If you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, if you've never asked God to fill you with the Holy Spirit, and if you want this afternoon to come to God and say, Father, fill me with the Holy Spirit that I also can get those revelations. If that's you, please raise your hand. And if you're here this afternoon and you say, yes, okay, it's me. I'm not spending time with God. And if I'm not spending time with God, I'm not giving time for the Holy Spirit to reveal to me what your plans are, Father. That is me. Because I've got other things which are more important to me. And God is speaking to you this afternoon and says, come, come my son, come my daughter. I want to spend time with you. Then I'm going to ask you to come forward, that you can bring that to the Father, that you can pray, that you can say, Father, I repent. I repent of not spending time with you or not enough time with you. And I want the Holy Spirit to reveal to me of your plans.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.